Okay, let's unpack this. Today we're doing a deep dive into something that feels, well, straight out of science fiction, doesn't it?
It really does.
AI and the world of literature. We're looking at how artificial intelligence is shaking things up in maybe two surprising ways.
Right. As a tool for understanding old texts, like really old ones, and also as a, let's say, creative partner for making new stuff.
And what's fascinating, I think, is how this challenges our ideas about, you know, who's the author, what even is creativity, how we read.
Absolutely. And our sources today, they cover quite a range of academic studies looking back, and even a real book written, well, with an AI.
Okay, so let's start with that first angle, AI as the literary analyst. Most people think AI writes, but you're saying it's also becoming a powerful tool for scholars looking back at classics.
Yeah, that's a big and maybe less flashy part of the story. It's really changing how we can study texts. There was this one great study focusing on intertextuality.
Intertextuality. So how authors borrow from each other.
Exactly. How they reference, build on, or even argue with earlier works. This particular study looked at Dante's Divine Comedy.
A small light read then.
Huh, yeah. And specifically, its relationship with Virgil's writings, which is, you know, a cornerstone of understanding Dante.
Okay, but how do you even get an AI to spot those kinds of subtle links, especially across languages, or when Dante's deliberately, you know, twisting Virgil's words?
That was the tricky part. They couldn't just do a simple word search. So first, they used a Latin translation of Dante to have a common ground with Virgil.
Ah, clever.
And then they developed a custom program. And here's the really interesting bit. It used something called cosine similarity.
Cosine similarity sounds technical. What does that actually mean in this context?
Well, think of it like this. Instead of just matching exact words, it maps the meaning of words or phrases in a sort of conceptual space. It looks at the angle between concepts, basically. Mm. So it can see that two different phrases are actually talking about the same idea, even if the wording's changed. Like when Dante uses seni signs instead of Virgil's vestigia footprints.
Ah, right. That famous line. The AI could pick up on that shift.
It could. It detected that semantic link, that echo, but also the difference. It understood the nuance of Dante referencing Virgil, but changing the image to fit his own poetic Christian vision.
Wow. So it's not just finding links, it's understanding the quality of the link.
Kind of, yeah. It's pattern recognition on a semantic level. And when they applied this across the whole comedy...
What did they find? Did it confirm what scholars already knew, or...?
Both, really. It confirmed some things, but also revealed patterns with new clarity. For instance, Virgil's influence actually grows through the Inferno. You might not expect that.
Mm.
Then it dips in Purgatorio as other guides step in, like Beatrice. But interestingly, it stays high and stable in Paradiso.
Even though Virgil isn't physically there.
Exactly. Suggesting he remains a crucial intellectual foundation for Dante, even in heaven. The AI also highlighted what the researchers called Dante's Poetics of Trespass.
Trespass, yeah.
Yeah, where he deliberately steps away from Virgil, marking his own path, his specifically Christian path. The computational data really threw that into sharp relief.
That's genuinely fascinating. Using AI to see centuries-old texts in a new light.
Okay, so if AI can read that deeply,
yeah.
What about writing? Can it actually create something original?
The million-dollar question. And yeah, people are definitely experimenting. There was a university class that did something really meta.
Go on.
They used ChatGPT to simulate a playlet by Primo Levi called The Versifier. And okay. The play itself is about a machine that writes poetry.
Okay. That's folding in on itself quite nicely. How did that go? Did ChatGPT nail the Levi style?
Well, the results were mixed. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Students found that AI, like ChatGPT, could produce academic papers that looked okay on the surface, good structure, decent grammar.
But often pretty generic, repetitive, sometimes factually wrong, what we call hallucinations, and crucially, lacking deep analysis. When it tried to write like Levi, it often just produced cliches, overly dramatic stuff, missing his, you know, precision and understatement.
So not quite ready to win the Nobel Prize for literature then.
Not based on that, no. But here's the really interesting part for us, I think. The human element was still key.
How so?
The students weren't just passive recipients. They had to creatively prompt the AI, push back when it made errors, correct its facts. And sometimes they even took the AI's weird outputs, its hallucinations, the odd words or grammar, and used those as creative springboards.
Ah, so it's more about the interaction, the human guiding, curating, even playing with the AI's flaws.
Exactly. Which led to this big debate in the class. Is the AI the author?
Hmm. What do they conclude?
Well, they argued it lacks real human experience, authenticity, you know, genuine originality. But they also had to admit it did, quote, most of the writing. One student even said something provocative like, if I edit a text it produces, I am the editor of ChatGPT. Which really reframes the relationship, doesn't it?
It does. Its authorship is collaboration, or maybe curation.
Hmm.
And we see this actually happening, right? Like with that Italian author, Rocco Tanaka.
Yeah, Rocco Tanaka's book, Non siamo mai stati sulla terra, We Were Never on Earth. It's a real-world example of exactly this kind of collaboration.
How did he work with the AI? Did you just give it a topic?
It was more involved. He essentially trained his AI partner. He fed it works by authors he admired, like Italo Calvino, Charles Dickens, trying to get it to mimic specific styles.
And did it work straight away?
Oh, definitely not. He was very open about the fact that it produced mountains of, his words, inedible mush.
Ah, I like that.
But the AI's advantage was speed. It could generate endless variations incredibly quickly. So Tanaka's job became selecting the gems, editing, shaping, being the curator, the director.
So the human taste, the editorial judgment was paramount.
Absolutely essential. He even used AI, like DALL-E, to generate illustrations, adding to this overall feeling of demential humor, as he put it.
So pulling all this together, what does it really mean for literature, for writing, for us as readers?
Well, it's clearly changing things. AI is making us question what a text even is, who gets to create it. It can be this incredibly powerful microscope for looking at the past.
And also this unpredictable, sometimes weird engine for generating new kinds of narratives.
Right. But the core insight maybe isn't just about the tech itself. It's how it forces us, the humans, to be more intentional.
That I mean.
Our critical thinking, the questions we ask the AI, our artistic goals, our ability to sift the mush from the magic that becomes the central act.
Right.
The AI is a tool, maybe even a collaborator, but the human intent, the curation, that seems indispensable for now anyway.
It really puts the focus back on human judgment and creativity, ironically. So the final thought maybe is, what happens next? What kinds of truly new literary forms might emerge from this human AI dance?
Exactly. And will collaborating with AI actually make the unique human authorial voice more distinct, more valuable as we figure out how to navigate this strange new partnership?
A lot to think about there. It's not just about the words on the page anymore, but the whole process behind them.